Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. Hello, it's Joni Winberg, Certified Human Behavior Consultant and Divorce Mentor. It's always a pleasure to do this show together with my co-host, Rosalind Sadaka. Hello, Rosalind.
Hi, Joni. Good to see you again. I'm Rosalind Sadaka. I'm founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network, a divorce and parenting coach and author of How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce. And I'm very excited about our guest today. She's an internationally acclaimed expert in the area of doing conscious divorce in the best and most respectful way for everyone in the family. Her name is Catherine Woodward Thomas. And she is an author and a therapist and so many other things. And I'm going to let Joni tell you a little bit more about her, and we can welcome her.
Absolutely. In fact, as you mentioned, Catherine is a marriage and family counselor and author of the New York best-selling book, which just recently came out, and it's Conscious Uncoupling, 5 Steps to Living Happily Ever After. So we're excited to have you on the show. Again, Catherine, welcome back, and I'm thrilled you're here.
Thank you, Joni. It's so nice to be here. Thank you, Rosalind. And I hate to correct you, but it's happily even after.
Oh, I had ever for something. Well, thank you. I think that's even better.
Yes. That's what we're talking about, is how to live happily even after.
Even after, for sure. But I guess I'm an optimistic person and thinks forever.
Me too, absolutely.
So, you know, I when you were on the show about a year and a half ago, you were just starting to think about this book, and you weren't quite sure the direction yet and so forth. So maybe fill us in a little bit as what really drove you to write this book, and what was your whole vision for this?
Well, thank you. I mean, it's kind of a funny story, actually, because when we were here last time, I'd been doing Conscious Uncoupling as an online program. Mm-hmm. And it was before Gwyneth Paltrow got wind of it. Mm-hmm. So it was the pre-pop into the lexicon of the term that I had created. And she was influenced by the work. I've never met Gwyneth myself or Chris, but I certainly admire how they've modeled a new way of it up for the world. They've done a gorgeous job. So I feel like I have a funny relationship with them. And she did endorse the book. But then once she, you know, popped it into the lexicon, everyone was so curious about it. I'd been wanting to write a book for a long time, and that kind of instigated the timeline of when that was written. But I will say that I think on a personal level, I was married for 10 years, and I have a beautiful daughter. And when I was young, my parents were quite young, and they got a divorce when I was about 2.5 years old. And the messiness, the animosity of that uncoupling, I think defined my life throughout my whole childhood. I experienced parental alienation. My mother hated my father. She did a lot to try and get me away from him. I'm sure in her mind she was thinking she was somehow doing the right thing. He left because he thought he was doing the right thing. He wanted to protect me from the challenges that they had. But the truth is that they both behaved badly. Mm. So when I uncoupled from my own husband and we had this young daughter, you know, in the midst of all of the confusion that was happening, the one thing that we both knew is that we wanted our daughter to have a happy childhood. Mm. We did not want her to define herself as someone who came from a broken home in a broken family. And we certainly didn't want to escalate her anxiety because somehow she was now going to be between two warring parents. So we made a very conscious decision to have an amicable parting of the ways. But that's not always easy. I think all of us would aspire.
Absolutely.
And as we all know, you know, what happens in the body, just there's even the latest studies in neuroscience, what happens in the body when you separate from someone that you're close to is all sorts of like emotional deregulation, being thrown into fight or flight, into survival mode. One of the things that fascinates me is I really believe that nature has hardwired us for connection, mm-hmm. so that when we go to part ways, it is not an easy thing, and people get really super crazy.
Yes.
Very tempting to form a negative bond. Hatred is not the absence of love. Hatred is the negative side of love. It is still a bond to person where you're very invested in that person, and then you're feeding on that person. Mm. My theory is that nature would prefer a negative bond to no bond at all, because, you know, 1,000 years ago, if you wandered away from your tribe, it was certain death. So we're kind of hardwired to stay connected. And one of the things that fascinated me is neuroscience shows also that what happens in our brains when we get rejected is that the same chemicals that get secreted when we're first falling in love get secreted again. Longing for that person increases if they're rejecting you.
Very interesting.
That's a cool joke, right?
Yes.
So, you know, given that these are all things that are going on in your biology, I really created Conscious Uncoupling to take myself and my former husband through the process. We have an amazing relationship right now. We're, you know, very, very close and good friends. And we've managed to transition our family into what I call an expanded family as opposed to a broken family. So we're a family that has kind of reconfigured the roles of who and the agreements of who you are for me, but it still has agreements that we still watch each other's back, that we're cooperative, that we work. And we've managed to do that very successfully, and that's what the 5 steps of conscious uncoupling are really based on, is my own personal success in that area.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to discuss those five steps?
I'm so happy to. I mean, I think we have to start where we are.
Okay.
In the beginning, you know, most people are in a lot of pain, and they do feel kind of emotionally deregulated, meaning that they're going from highs to lows and extremes, and they feel a little bit out of control. And it's very helpful, I think, to see that is a very viable response that is explainable through neuroscience. And the latest in attachment theory, which shows that our relationships actually serve to not only regulate things like breathing patterns and body temperature and blood pressure, but also our emotions. And so that kind of explains it, why you would long to see someone or hear their voice, even if they're the one that's hurting you, is because they're the ones who can also get us out of pain. Because the moment we hear the sound of his voice or we smell her perfume, suddenly, I'm trying to keep my cat away. then we calm down. Or if there's a moment where we can agree on something and now we're in harmony with each other, our whole body will relax, right? So we kind of are addicted to each other. It's just how nature has designed us. It's not necessarily a good or bad thing. It just is what's so in the neuroscience of human attachment. So when we understand that, we begin to realize that when we are deregulated, when we are prone towards creating that negative bond, that's not the time we want to be acting out, because we will do things that create a very toxic environment. Mm-hmm. And we will sometimes do damage that cannot be undone, or damage that we will be living the consequences of, we and our children if we have them, for many, many years to come. So what the first step is of conscious uncoupling is how to get a handle on those hot emotions so we can calm ourselves down and take action from the wisest part of ourselves and not just lash out in rage or retaliation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I teach people a certain technique, which is, you know, psychologists on the most simple level call it affect labeling. Very simple thing that people can do is when you feel like you're on the edge, like out of control, you just take a deep breath and you literally just say your name to yourself. Catherine, honey, what are you feeling right now? And you mirror that feeling back to yourself. I can see that you feel enraged. I can see you feel enraged. What else are you feeling right now? Because the moment you have your feelings, they don't have you. Mm-hmm. You are in the driver's seat. And the other part of the first step that we engage has to do with sponsoring the good that's underneath those very big feelings. So usually we're angry because something has been violated. Somebody did something that was unfair, unreasonable, hurtful, unconscious, selfish. And so to be able to harness the energy of that righteous indignation and turn it into an intention that you set for your life. Like this is the absolute last time I will ever be a doormat ever again. I will from this moment on always show up in relationships in a way that is honoring of myself and self-respectful. Right? First and foremost. So you turn those big emotions into the fuel that you'll need for positive change. That's step one. Step two of conscious uncoupling is once you've talked yourself off the ledge and you feel more contained, because, you know, relationships are very traumatic when they break up. Mm. And so one of the things I do in step one is to rate your trauma, because if you're traumatized, you're not in a place to self-reflect and you're certainly not in a place to divide your assets. And that the problem that most people have is that they're trying to get into dividing assets and making economic decisions or custody decisions when they're in the middle of a trauma. So step two is about noticing the story that people are telling. Because we all, you know, when we've had this kind of breakup trauma, we're telling the story over and over and over again. We're trying to integrate that story. It's normal to do when you're traumatized. You know, trauma therapists will tell you, people will kind of go over what happened, what I could have done differently, how did it happen, why did it happen, you know, all of that. So that's just us trying to integrate trauma. So, but the problem is that usually when we're going over that trauma of the breakup, we're telling the story from a victimized perspective.
Yes, yes.
He did to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, you know, and I just am stewing in that perspective. Now, look. This is the truth about that, is it might well be true. Okay? It might well be true. Yeah, a lot of unfair things go down in relationship. However, if you stay in the story from that perspective, you somehow set yourself up to live a lesser life in the aftermath of this breakup and to love less fully, a little more guarded, a little bit more distant, one foot out the door, never really going all the way with it, because even if it was 97% the other person's fault, you have to know what your 3% is, because until you understand how you allowed that dynamic to happen and make an amends to yourself moving forward, you will not really trust yourself to ever love and be loved again.
Definitely.
So that's about self-inventory, self-responsibility, and making an amends to yourself moving forward. Step three is noticing that the breakup and the dynamics of the relationship are part of an overall meta pattern of how relationships go for you. Somehow I always wind up with abusive people. Somehow I'm always, you know, the invisible one with a narcissist. It's all about them. Or somehow I'm just always alone again. And I have long, long periods of time where I'm really alone. And even in the relationship, I felt alone. And I think we feel extremely victimized by these overall patterns and deeply resigned when it happens yet again. So step three is kind of deconstructing how that pattern has been happening through us as opposed to just to us, and helping us to take responsibility for the covert ways that we've been showing up that allowed that pattern to duplicate itself. In some ways, it's kind of like, you know, it's people go, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't want to just blame the victim. You know, he was a narcissist. But until you look and see, wow, and, you know, I have a way of putting my first attention on other people. I'm disconnected from my own feelings and needs, so I don't tell people what I feel and need. I have a fantasy they're just going to know what I feel and need if they really loved me. So I'm not responsible for making my feelings and needs visible or for advocating for my feelings and needs. Like, until we can start to see how these specific ways of being actually generate the pattern, we can't really graduate from it. So what I help people do is I take people through a five-step process where you kind of look at your core beliefs that are generating that way of relating to begin with. I call it your source fracture wound, the original break in your heart. You go all the way back to, you know, my father never recognizing me because he was so, you know, he was drinking too much or whatever was going on. And so I just had this idea about myself that I'm not enough somehow, right? So you want to name the belief. You want to notice how you've been showing up in ways that kind of enroll people into that script, and even see how you behaved in a way that baited the other person to play out that role again, or chose them because they would predictably play out that role. And more importantly than that is you want to start to challenge that story. Mm-hmm. What's really true about the idea that I'm not good enough or that I'm not important or I'll always be alone? Because usually if you really say, well, how old is the part of me that's in that story? You're like 4. Yeah. 4-year-olds don't have any complexity or sophistication of thought to understand that whatever is happening has nothing to do with who they are.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right. So adults do. So we put you back in your adult self where you can actually recraft the story. You can notice all of the ways of relating that would create a different experience if you began to show up in ways where you were connected to your feelings and needs, for example, and you took responsibility for expressing them. How might relationships go then? And then you see how you can actually graduate from that story through engaging that development. So that's step three. So if you notice, all the first three steps of conscious uncoupling are all of our own inner work.
Exactly. And that's probably where people are getting stuck.
Yes. I think exactly they're getting stuck. And you guys would know that, you know, almost more than anybody, because you're talking to so many people and you're such a hub of communication. And I think, you know, it is such a traumatic thing because all this stuff is happening all at once. Suddenly your bills have doubled because you're not living with another person, mm-hmm. and now you're responsible for two homes, and all of this kind of pressure around the structures of your life while you're still highly traumatized, or while you're still stuck in victimization, or while you're still in deep despair because you've repeated old patterns yet again and you have no access to power from that story. So it's almost like, you know, put your oxygen mask on first, and before we take care of all of the children and all of the things that need to be tended to, let's get ourselves to a more well place.
And this is where we understand the other choices.
I'm sorry, I'd say that again, Roslyn.
This is where we understand other choices. Open up new doors.
We are going to, once you do all of that, you're going to feel a lot more spaciousness. You're going to be able to connect with the adult part of you. You might never like what's going on, but you recognize the need to move forward from here in a way that's going to set people up to win. In step four, becoming a love alchemist, it's to really shift the field between yourself and the other person so that you can begin to negotiate some of those things that need to be negotiated from a more wholesome place. And the first thing you want to start with is to set an intention for the relationship moving forward. Now, if you have children, you're going to want to set an intention for a very good expanded family co-parenting partnership. That would be the ideal. If you are married to a sociopath, that's going to create more complexity. Somebody's like really unethical. You know, it's going to create more complexity. But if you, again, if you have children, you're going to have to take the high road and you're going to say, I'm going to create the healthiest environment possible for our children. So one of the first things that we do in step four is we, I do a process with people that helps them to let go of toxic residue so that they're not festering in resentment. And be able to, and again, conscious uncoupling, as much as I love how Gwyneth and Chris modeled it, it's not just for two people who can live happily ever after in the way that they're living. Sometimes it's being able to move on, never speak to the person again, but learn your lessons and really get it and let it graduate you forever.
Yes, I like that's an component of it all.
Absolutely. And so what's going to set you free is to not be walking around with resentment, because resentment, you know, resentment is as hard on the body as if you were a chronic smoker. That's what recent studies have shown. So we don't want to be festering with resentments, and we want to be able to forgive ourselves first and foremost for the mistakes that we made and all the many ways that we gave our power away. And I think that when we have to forgive ourselves, it goes back to an amends. Forgiveness is not just a, you know, thing that we say, oh, I forgive myself. It really necessitates a big amends moving forward, especially if it's cost you, you know, years of your life or what you've invested in turned to dust, you know, or you lost a tremendous amount of money in that partnership or whatever happened, you know, in that relationship. You really need to create an amends that's of equal or greater value than the loss. Mm-hmm. And that's what really helps us to move forward. And then the fifth step of conscious uncoupling has to do with really clarifying the new agreements that the relationship is organized around. It's becoming conscious of the old agreements. You know, those when people are festering and they've, you know, 2-3 years out, and then they see their ex with somebody else and they feel betrayed and stabbed all over again. It's because there's an old agreement that never was made conscious and never consciously completed. That old agreement in that situation might be, I am the only one you will ever love. Mm-hmm. So we're looking, you know, what are the agreements that you had in that relationship? How can you evolve them to be more congruent with the future that you are now committed to creating? And how can you set everyone up in the community to win moving forward from here? Because the other thing about conscious uncoupling is we recognize that relationships are not just about the two people in them.
That's right.
Relationships belong to the community. You really do. If you're if you're members of a synagogue or you're members of a church, you serve on various committees on the school board or whatever we come to feel safe because, you know, there's Joe and Mary again year after year hosting the Christmas party together. You know, it makes everybody feel safe. And so when a family changes form, it impacts others. And so we take that into account, we remember that, and we try our best to create cohesion in the community because that will really serve the greater good. So that's the five-step process.
Roz, I'm going to ask you
for a second.
Put your mic on mute. Because I think that's what causes the echo. Just put it up on the top there.
Okay.
I'm thinking because I'm trying to get mine on. We're just dealing with the echo here. But as far as Catherine, what I see here is that people really have to dig in and do the work.
Well, you know, if
and willing.
If you have a heartbreak, it's like life has you by the ankles and you're upside down. Where else are you going to go? Really. I mean, if you're really, like, your skin is on fire, your heart is heavy, you can barely breathe, you're constantly festering with resentment and victimization, it's a tremendous amount of pain. So I think conscious uncoupling is kind of a respite in the storm. And I wrote the book to be very kind. The book almost feels like a companion that you can, like, you know, keep by your bed and hug in the middle of the night. It's like I write it with so much love and so much care. It's a very intimate book. It's not a clinical book. It's filled with studies and, you know, things to help you understand your experience, but it is a very intimate friend. And it has a lot of just the energy of comfort to it. And I don't know, you know, that's what there is to do, is to seek out comfort and relief.
I just think it's... I apologize for this.
It might even be your mic.
Can you see up top, Catherine? If you click on the mic and just hit unmute.
Oh, let's see. Sure.
Right at the top.
Right at the top. Okay.
Okay. So this is, yeah, that's what was causing the echo. So as far as you know, Catherine, just having this book at the fingertips for people to really go in there and review it and learn more. I mean, to me, you can't help but learn more about yourself. And when you want to speak, just click that mic again. Can you see the click on the mic there?
I just want to add that the word conscious is so important because, again, that's talking about awareness and choice. And I think everything envelops respect in what you're talking about. You're doing things in a respectful way. And it's so important. Joni and I always talk about how you are a role model for your children. So when children are involved and you're handling your divorce this way, it's such a different level for the children to experience. And it frees them up from so much pain and scars and hurt that we see in other kinds of relationships when divorce isn't handled with that level of respect and consciousness.
And I know, Roz, you and I have children now that are having their own children.
Yes.
So, and my daughter has three little boys, and they're all in their 30s. So to me, you know, I was trying to be as conscious as I was, even though I really didn't know probably what I was doing 20 years ago when I got divorced, but something told me to, you know, try to be the best role model that I could possibly be, because my main intention was I want my children to grow up to have healthy, happy relationships, even if I didn't know what I was doing. But that was conscious enough to try to be as amicable as possible. And here we are, Roz. We've got kids now that are having kids. And it's so amazing how you can see those traits passed on if we weren't being as conscious as we were.
Absolutely. That's why I just love the work that Catherine's doing.
And I do too. Can you click on your mic up top there, Catherine? And join?
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. Hard to hear you.
It has the echo for some reason, but
I don't hear it myself. I'm sorry if it's hurting our listeners.
No, it's fine. They're just hearing us double, which is a good thing. Catherine, where can they connect with you and find your book? I know you have your website on the screen here, but I'd let you repeat it and then just make sure that they can connect with you and your book.
You know, one of the things that I've been really excited about is I just graduated 100 people to become conscious uncoupling coaches.
Awesome.
And we're going to be running another coach training in a few months, and people can go to consciousuncouplinginstitute.com if they're interested in finding out about that, or just consciousuncoupling.com if they want to come onto my email list. And we have also, when you buy the book, Conscious Uncoupling, I have a lot of URLs in the book that when you go to them, you get free downloads of audios and meditation. So I literally have a practice for each one of the 5 steps in the book. That's a little treat when you buy the book, and you can just get that from any bookseller.
Nice.
Well, it's been just such a pleasure, Catherine, to have you on the show, and definitely hopefully we don't have to wait another year and a half before we connect and you can keep us updated of what's going on. And but really, thanks so much for being on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time to be here. And also, Roz, can you give us your website and so forth so people know how to connect with you?
Yes, you could reach me at childcenteredivorce.com for coaching services and just a a wealth of valuable resources on divorce and parenting issues. That's childcenteddivorce.com. And Joni, where can people find you?
They can go to freshstartafterdivorce.com, where we have a program. It's a live program called How to Emotionally and Financially Survive a Divorce. And so it's a four-step process. But once again, if you like to hear this interview again with Catherine, because there's a lot of great information, just go to divorceview.com. And listen to it as much as you'd like. And then if you find that you don't have time for a video, our podcast is available as well, and you can just tune in and listen to that while you're on the go.